This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I did want to mention something real quick that Bochy said that I was not responsible for messing up.
Dude, give yourself a break.
Evan Carter, he anticipates Evan Carter playing in all three of the Boston games. So obviously you played yesterday, play today, and play tomorrow, and then have the first game off against Detroit, where they're planning, or at least as of now, it's penciled in that Tarik Skubal will get that start. And so just something to keep an eye on. Evan tonight, Evan tomorrow, and then not play on Friday.
Dude, Evan could have been 4 for 5. I think he had a strikeout last night, but the ones that he made contact on, that one he ripped down first baseline was amazing. Yeah. It just happened to be an awesome play.
Yeah.
And then the one he hit the center field, I thought it was going to fall, but a Gold Glove center fielder goes in there and sprints in and makes a great play. So Evan Carter getting in there and making good contact right out of the gate, that's promising right there.
The man whose voice you hear right there, he will roll the C block today.
Oh, I don't.
Well, I guess every day.
Yeah, let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Kevin, for that introduction. I'm going to need your help on this conversation for sure. Not like always, you know, we always like to help each other out. There are notable Cowboys, this is Todd Archer, notable Cowboys with expiring contracts after 25.
Okay.
Micah Parsons.
Man, just real quick, does that feel like the only contract because of how much time it gets talked about and everything like that?
We're going to have a discussion about it a little more here in a second, but Micah Parsons, 1.
Okay.
Deron Bland, 2.
Okay.
Jake Ferguson, 3.
Okay.
George Pickens, 4. Which, the addition here. By the way, isn't it weird that Schottenheimer news gets bumped up on like a Friday night at 11 p.m. and then, of course, the first thing you see on a Wednesday morning is this Pickens news.
Stop the presses. You need to know about this. Schottenheimer.
All right, so Parsons, Bland, Ferguson, Pickens, Sam Williams,
okay, and
Brandon Aubrey. It says
we better pay him.
RFA is
restricted free agent.
Yeah. Aubrey's a restricted free agent. All the rest of them are unrestricted.
Yeah. See, I didn't realize that either.
For the unrestricted free agents, as Archer says, there's only one tag to go around.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys contract decisions are always interesting. And this now adding George Pickens makes it even more so.
I guess my thought would be I would be stunned if you tagged Sam Williams, just because, like, we're all hyped about the promise that is still there.
When you see it.
Yeah, but you just haven't seen it. And maybe that's why the Cowboys are like, that's exactly why I would use the franchise tag to see if we see it and then give him a long-term deal. That's just going to be a lot of money for somebody who then hopefully will have had the one, like, super productive season. Micah, I don't think that's going to happen. Ferguson, I don't know what to think about that, man, because I was super high on Jake Ferguson going into last year. Then he had a really rough season for a variety of reasons. And at this point, I just don't know if he would be worth a franchise tag either. So I focus in on Bland and Pickens.
Interesting.
As potential, because with Bland, I know there are some people who are like, get the deal done now. And I hear that. That just doesn't usually seem to be the Cowboys' MO.
Nope.
And if they're going to wait and they're going to move off of Trayvon Diggs after the season's over, I'm not saying that will happen, but if it did, maybe they're going to be a little gun shy to pull the trigger on another long-term big money cornerback deal. And then for Pickens, it makes a lot of sense just because he wants to use this year to prove who he is. And maybe the Cowboys will be like, hey, you were phenomenal this year in the system. We already pay CeeDee Lamb a lot of money. So give me one more phenomenal year and we'll make it worth your while. You know, mm-hmm. So I would circle in on Bland and Pickens as potentials.
Okay. I'm very interested to know how the Cowboys feel about Bland and his future staying around. Do they want to keep him around, or is that one of those, hey, we got Revelle, we're good?
Does it feel trickier with the Cowboys? Because usually you're like, hey, if we're pumped on you for the future, we'll go ahead and get that extension done a year before it really comes into public focus, especially for the draft picks. And that does not seem to be the Cowboys' MO whatsoever.
Now, for the crew that is screaming at the top of their lungs, we'll get back into Pickens here in just a second, too. For the crew that's screaming at the top of their lungs to trade Micah, which, because that conversation is always there, the conversation is, do you love picks? Do you love the King's ransom you could possibly get in return?
Before you play the audio, yep. And I'm really curious, because I have not heard this audio yet, and I know you were doing some extra work to pick this up. There's nothing about any of the moves the Cowboys have made this offseason that leads me to believe they would trade him. Like, you right. could have seen a variety of moves. You're like, I don't know. But there's nothing, including this morning for sure, that has led me to believe that's going to happen.
And the discussion has obviously been a media discussion and a fan discussion for sure. More than anything else. I've never heard, I haven't heard Steven say or allude to it, have we?
And Jerry has literally told us in multiple interviews.
Not going to happen.
No one in this building has ever talked about that.
All right.
Which, maybe.
Our friend Kay Adams had our other friend DeMarcus Ware on. And they were discussing the possibility of trading Micah.
DeMarcus, I'm worried he's going to get traded.
No, he's not.
No? Good.
No.
How do you know
I don't. You know what? I don't think he's going to know. You're right. He better not. I don't think he's going to get traded. From when I was there at Tyron Smith retirement and seeing how Jerry Jones looked at him, and to be honest with you, when he saw a different part of Micah that I saw, I think it was a little bit of change of heart.
Huh.
And it was like, hold on. I know that's our guy on the football field, but that's also our guy outside of the whole thing of sports that can be that catalyst for my team. And what happened if I got rid of him? Because I saw him like pouring into and talking to the other players. I'm like, that's the guy that I want on my team. I think Jerry Jones saw the same thing at that retirement of Tyron. And it, you know, not a sin, he had a change of heart, but it sort of let him know that he is the guy. If he wants that outside linebacker pass rusher that's going to be wreaking havoc, I want him on my team instead of another team.
That's that's DeMarcus Ware right there.
Did you just play DeMarcus Ware off? We got it.
Sorry, we're DeMarcus. Done. Yeah. No, but that's him observing at Tyron Smith's retirement ceremony, what was going on in the room, and kind of keeping an eye and seeing Jerry kind of recognize maybe Micah's taking that next step and being more than just the guy that you think on the field, but maybe he's also taking that step off the field. Hey, you mentioned it the other day. Put that dude right next to Dak Prescott, you know, put in the locker room. Make sure that there's some that you can learn from these guys. That's something to grow on and learn from. So, for anybody that's been craving that, DeMarcus Ware does not think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we don't either. But I think it's always worth the conversation for this simple fact. And Micah can hate it. That's fine. You want to know what the value is. And when you discuss that, you're really just discussing hold on, what are we getting in return? And is that better for the team than it is for the player? And the Cowboys have decided that it is not.
And look, I go back to, there was absolutely a time a year ago where I think it would have made all the sense in the world to trade Micah Parsons. And that was before you did the Dak extension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you did the Dak extension, you're not rebuilding anything. So it makes no sense. But like, if you told me, hey, we're not going to re-sign Dak, and so that's going to change the structure of your salary cap. Also, you're going to trade Micah, pick up a bunch of extra picks. And I'm like, okay, so we're going straight up rebuild. I at least understand the logic of doing that. But once they re-sign Dak, it makes absolutely no sense to move on from Micah.
From the 972, you don't tag Williams because you don't pay top three money for prospects. I agree. I agree with
that
completely.
I'm with you on that.
From the 214, George Pickens is overrated talent combined with low effort and attitude questions. His fan base is going to flip on him in less than three games.
Can I just say that's why you were able to trade for him?
Yes, exactly. Right? And that, and a third round pick was probably a little more than they wanted to initially do, yes. But that's the cost of doing business here. And again, my philosophy, as you pointed out, if he wants a contract instead of an extension, then what he's trying to do is he's trying to prove to not just the Cowboys, but to the rest of the league. And this was, Bill Parcells used to say this all the time. Broaddus knows. Bill Parcells would always say, you're not just here at training camp for us. You're here at training camp for everybody in the NFL. Everybody's watching you. You might get cut. And then what? If you put out your best effort and there's good tape out there, people are going to see it. And so that's what I think Pickens and his agent, who also is Micah's agent, probably had that conversation of, look, man, if I can go do this, this will give me a new setting. I have to be on my best behavior. I have to do all the best things I can and be an elite receiver at the same time so I can go get the contract I think I deserve.
From the 682, this is interesting. You don't learn leadership. You have it or you don't, and Micah doesn't have it. So I'm going to stop right there. They went on to say something else that, like, your best player doesn't have to be your leader. I agree with that. I don't know if I agree with that first part. I think in many instances,
There are traits
that
people recognize without knowing that they just, I think Dawson threw it out there, deep voice, stature. You know, there are things, physical traits that definitely stand out. But decision making sometimes is learned.
Yeah. Like
the behaviors of a leader, there's books that you can take things from and say, hey, man, that's a great use of that. So one of the greatest lines is, you don't have to have the right direction. You just have to have a direction.
Yeah.
And once you go that direction, if you have the conviction behind it, people are going to follow. Now, they may follow you into the wrong place.
Sure.
But they're following because you're leading and they trust your leadership.
And then I can't say this for sure, but some of the stuff that we have heard since in the off season is that maybe he was biding his time. And he was like, I fundamentally do not agree with the direction that DeMarcus Lawrence has like mapped out for this defense or this room or whatever. And I'm not saying that's the case. I don't know, but just some of the back and forth you've heard, it's
nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Sounds like maybe he was biding his time. So I have not seen the innate leadership from Micah Parsons, but I don't necessarily mean that, don't think that means you'll never get it.
And then somebody said the tag for Pickens next year would be $28 million, not interested.
And that's fair. Having not seen him play whatsoever with the Cowboys, if all of a sudden him and Dak connect and you're like, holy crap, we do have a vertical passing game and Dak can get him the ball. I just wonder if you take a step and be like, oh, maybe.
And the other thing about that, too, is just go look at the way that this draft went. They wanted Tet. They didn't get Tet. And then they decided that none of the other receivers in the draft were what they wanted to go to pair up with CD. So they could use a pick next year to have it for this year. And so maybe next year they don't feel like they have to have the receiver again. They can go get him in the draft if he's available. So there's plenty of options still around there for you.
And this is going to be for another day.
And you said, did we agree that $16 million a year if we wanted to do a contract?
Just if you wanted to offer it right now. I'm not saying he would take that, but if you went 16 to 18 per year, do you think you could make something happen? And then somebody said Micah is the most beloved Cowboys player right now. I am intrigued to pick that conversation up because I haven't really thought about it, but I'm curious who the other candidates in the mix would be.
And then the last thing, Kevin, Alec, have you seen Run It Straight?
I don't think so.
I don't know what that is.
Run It Straight competitions. All right. We've seen sports pop up and be very like, oh my gosh, pickleball is taking over the world right now.
The one I still don't totally get or really enjoy is like the weird volleyball off the trampoline when you're working in two-person teams. And it's not a volleyball. It's like this little ball that you hit off the trampoline. I don't know if I love that.
All right, Kevin. I'm running this one back. Do I have to hit play here for you?
You have to push the circle.
All right. This is Run It Straight, where one versus one, two guys or gals.
Holy crap.
Line up on either side of a field, if
that
you will.
That person is unconscious.
One has the ball, one does not, and they run as fast as they can directly at each other, no pads.
It's jousting. And
full speed.
There's no horses and no lances. It's just you.
Mono-y-mono.
That is terrifying.
And this is like doing the Oklahoma drills back in the day, but you just get the football and you go. This is wild, dude. And I'm wondering if this is the next new sport to take over the world or if people are going to go, hey, man, we don't need to do that again. Like that
feels
like
so dangerous. Like that one clip you showed me, it looked like that person got knocked unconscious.
Yeah. Well, and the other one, I need to show the other one too, because like it's a different angle from another field.
Okay.
And when these guys, I'm telling you, full speed, as fast as you can at somebody, you level them. Here you go. Watch this one real quick because it's the same way. And go check them out. Go check the videos out if you get a chance. Run It Straight is what it's called right now.
Louise,
I wonder,
man,
because of the physicality of
Holy
it.
Holy crap.
Is it a, I mean, we've seen slap battles. We've seen all sorts of things.
That does not feel like a sustainable sport.
It seems like after the first one, you're just like, you know what? I'm done with that altogether. But then you see rugby players. Rugby players are out there.
Yeah, they probably think this is soft.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you know, that's what we do for practice every day. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Go check out Run It Straight. Let us know if we need to do it for our next fan event.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or a pop culture opinion, or they keep thinking that the landline for Ramona Shelburne is going to work in those video shots? And We will talk with Gina Miller from FC Dallas next on The Fan.
Blackman with a ball ahead of the key, pressured by Jordan. Blackman fakes on Jordan, right of the lane, fadeaway shot, good from 18 feet. Rolando Blackman has six.
In your face, Michael Jordan!
Dunked on.
Wanted to mention that because Rolando Blackman will be the Mavericks representative on Monday for the NBA draft lottery. Hopefully he can bring luck to a franchise that has literally never moved up in the NBA lottery. Ever.
So this is the time.
Yes.
Why don't they let me do it?
I don't know.
Well, you act like I wouldn't be a good luck charm. Look at this show.
I've been
on it this whole time. Here we are.
You get nothing.
Well,
Rolando Blackman was a great player, and he also led to maybe my favorite strip club story of all time.
From Mike.
When Mike said he was, this lady was trying to get a dance, and she's like, I'm from Panama. And he goes, oh, you know who else is from Panama? Rolando Blackman. And that, I think that pretty much ended the potential transaction. Like, it was never going to happen, but I think at that point, the dancer knew that it wasn't going to happen.
This door is closing very quickly. All I'm saying is I've been a fan for a long time, all right? And if it's never happened and I've never been there, then I think that we give it a shot.
Okay.
But has Rolando Blackman ever done this before? Is this his first time?
I'm not sure. I'm going to check on that.
Right, thank you.
Let me ask you this. You're going to get picked, and we're going to send you. But you have to pay all your own expenses.
Okay.
But you're going to get us the number one pick. Who keeps turning the speakers on this computer? I remember.
There was a time
when I was the only person who used this computer, really. And I knew not to turn the speakers on. But somebody now is turning the speakers on. It's like, I need to hear that truck commercial.
All right, revisit your question, right, Kevin. I get to get picked. I'm going up there. I got to pay my expenses.
Yeah, you're going to go to Chicago. You got to pay all your own expenses, but the Mavericks are going to get a top four pick.
I'm down. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Dude, and you know what I'm doing? I'm wearing a KNC Masterpiece shirt during the pick.
Oh,
because
nice.
Everybody's going to see us. They're going to be like, that's me. That's us right there. Mavs fans for life, baby.
All right. I like it.
And then I'm going to be like, fire Nico.
Now,
I don't think they're going to let me go.
Probably won't let you on the stage if you have a Fire Nico shirt on. In about 5 minutes, we'll talk with FC Dallas Vice President of Media and Communications, Gina Miller. But in the meantime, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Now, I have to ask, do you think, go ahead and give me cut number five. Are the Cleveland Cavaliers idiots? They were up 119 to 112 with 50 seconds to left.
Okay.
They went on to surrender an 8-0 run in the final 50 seconds that included 3 offensive rebounds for the Pacers and 2 turnovers for Cleveland. And it all culminated with this.
4 seconds to go. Halliburton for 3 ball up top. Indiana by 1. 1 1/10 seconds to go. Inbound. Merrill didn't get it off. And this rivals the Milwaukee finish.
You have got to be kidding me.
Now the Cleveland Cavaliers.
So they lost, I take it?
Yes, they did.
Oh, man.
Who had the best record in the East and second best record in all of basketball. They lost the first 2 games at home. And
Rick Carlisle's a hell of a coach.
Now they go to, man, if he gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, I believe in back-to-back years, that would be something.
Well, I mean, think about, didn't he do it with Detroit?
He's a heck of a coach.
He's done some pretty special things all along. He just knew that he couldn't coach Luka anymore. He was like, there's no way I can defeat that guy.
Are the Cavaliers idiots, or do you want to wait and see how the series plays out?
Well, it was that's a bad fumble at the end there, for sure. I'll wait, though. Let's see how this goes, because I don't want to be on My Buddy's an Idiot for saying they're idiots.
Ooh,
and they come back and win the series.
Okay, I got you. Now, are OKC fans or opposing fans in general idiots for trying to taunt Nikola Jokic? So they were taunting him with a very specific chant, and he said he didn't hear it, but they called him a free throw merchant. And he said, to be honest, I didn't hear them, but that is pretty funny. So are you off the hook because he thinks it's funny? Or is it the fact that when you said that he went for 44, 22, and 6 and they won the game that you're like, maybe we shouldn't? Like, I always thought people who chanted openly against Luka, I was like, that's a mistake. You're going to piss him
off, him
and he's going to go on a rampage.
Yeah, and remember the year that they were chanting while Giannis was on the free throw line, and they kept counting down the seconds?
Oh, they still do that, absolutely.
Because he took so long. I don't know. Did you said Jokic, did he, from the free throw line, how was he doing? Did he go to the
good.
Free throw line a lot?
But he said he didn't hear it.
Okay.
But then after the fact, he said it was funny.
But that's what I'm like. Was he at the free throw line 40 times?
No.
Okay. All right.
And it's kind of funny because some people have accused Shea of being a free throw merchant.
Oh, he definitely is, for
sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say I don't think that's fair either, but yeah, you know.
I've seen that before.
Okay. All right. Now, this is probably unfair.
940, my buddy's an idiot. He thinks Josh Smith stinks and should quit baseball. I don't feel that way.
No, Corey thinks Josh Young stinks.
No, I didn't say that he stinks. I just said he was 0 for 4 last night, which isn't a good line.
Quit baseball. I am obviously.
Did you see the strikeout when he thought he walked twice?
Okay, but that's just one at bat.
You need to stop
that. Oh, man.
Wait until the umpire says go to first base. I've seen Josh Young do that too many times.
All right, I'm also an idiot for saying Alejandro Rosario instead of Osuna. I knew who the person was we're talking about, but I said the name wrong. This might feel rude. Is the Akron football team idiots because they have been banned from a postseason bowl game due to academic reasons?
Huh?
That is, barring an appeal, this is the first team this has happened to since 2017. So it's been 8 years since somebody dropped below. They use this metric called APR that I know actually some people think is problematic for a few different reasons, but they use a thing called APR and you have to be at least 930. And I think Akron dropped a 914. And so they fell below the minimum level. And so it looks like, barring an appeal, for the first time in 8 years, they are going to get in trouble. Any team is going to get in trouble because of that academic metric.
Yeah, idiots. That's a bad look on you, man. Can't fall below that number. Everybody knows that.
I know you're supposed to be a good teammate and stuff, and I get that. But like, if you have a 4.0 or something, are you lighting people up in the locker room? Hey, get it together,
man. I'm doing my crap.
Yeah.
Why can't you do your work?
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm over here getting the trainer girl to help me get my grades up by taking my test for me. Get her to take your test for you, too.
And this one's a little complicated because am I the idiot or is Sovereignty the horse or his trainers the idiot? He won the Kentucky Derby and is not going to run in the Preakness. Look, I get in the horse racing world, it's super important, but for a lot of people, hey, we're here to see a triple crown or nothing. If you don't think you can run in the next races, don't run in the Kentucky Derby.
I feel like, dude, the world, like, that's us casuals.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if you're in the horse racing world, you're like, I won millions of dollars in the most prestigious race in the world, so why don't you shut up?
Yeah, in their world, it's very, very different. And they have different information than we do, for sure.
Okay, could we, in years when this happens, could we change the Triple Crown to it'll be back on when Sovereignty can race again? And so, like, look, you have to have a good field, but, like, whatever race,
No.
Because
we wouldn't say, hey, let's move the Super Bowl until Patrick Mahomes' offensive line gets healthy.
Okay.
You know, like,
so we can't pick it up at the Belmont now and be like, now let's see maybe if you can do it.
No, but it is interesting that they say these are the three races that create the Triple Crown.
Yeah,
why can't we have a quadruple crown now? Like, why is there another track that we love?
I don't know. So I'll admit, I might be the idiot because I'm disappointed in the horse that it will not run now in the Preakness, which means I will not watch or care about the Preakness.
I wasn't planning on it anyway, so.
Do you watch a third one if the same horse has won the first two?
Did I watch the first two?
Irrelevant.
No.
Oh, man.
If I didn't watch the first two, then
so
I'm like.
So chance to see a triple crown, like, you're like, eh.
You know what? Next year, Kevin, give me the schedule, all right?
Okay.
I need the schedule for the horses. And I will sit there and I will watch the first one. Uh-huh. And if they're like, hey, this is a horse one, I'll be like, all right, do you think he's going to win again? And if people are like, no, I'll still watch the second one.
Okay.
If he doesn't win, then I'm not watching the third one.
I feel like usually the races are like 2 or 3 weeks apart from one another. So it's not like the longest time commitment in the world.
I still need the schedule because I don't have a clue.
Okay.
Basically, the only reason I know that the Derby's going on is because Kay Adams is like, hey, I'm at the Derby this week. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, Kay.
Okay. And then, so like, if it's anything Kay Adams, you never lose sight of what's happening.
That's
right?
Not necessarily the thing. I just know that when she's at the Derby, that's when I know the Derby's about to start.
Now, this one is complicated.
I appreciate you trying to throw me a softball.
Yes.
There,
the Pittsburgh Pirates have suspended an employee over just a bananas.
This is wild, man.
Fist fight. And it's complicated because on the one hand, I want to say, like, you can't take your belt off and hit people with it.
That's true.
Especially in a public setting.
That's a fact.
But also,
especially if it's not somebody you know,
yes,
too.
Yes. Well, I mean, okay. Well,
that's another.
I would have just argued, but I hear you.
I think my parents would have had a different theory there.
Fair.
Right.
But also, you don't spit on somebody and not expect it to go sideways. And so, like, it's really tough because this Pirates employee got suspended. Dude, he punches this dude and then eventually takes off his belt and whips him in the leg with it. But also, it's tough to tell in the video. It looks like, or the reports are, that this dude spit on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, you can't spit on another human being and not expect huge consequences.
I tried to watch the entire video. There's like an 8-9 minute video on this. I tried to watch the whole thing and I kind of got bored. But
yeah, was there too much standing around and talking?
Yeah. I don't know exactly what led to this. Why did the usher decide I got to square up on this guy right now? You know, what was he doing? Did he do something that he shouldn't have been doing? And the guy kept telling him not to. And then all of a sudden he said something he shouldn't have said.
It definitely felt like that guy was baiting him because he was like sticking his chin out. And it
didn't look like, I didn't see that he spit on the guy first and then the guy punched him. It looked like he had said something and he was like, all right, I'm jawing you. I also didn't see I saw him start to take his belt off. And at that point he already had blood all over his shirt. And so that's when I was like, okay, maybe when he jawed him, he started bleeding out of his mouth and then he spit on him. And that's how this is all going down. It's, again, I tell my children, do not spit on somebody. That is the grossest thing in the world that I think you can do. Like, that's just disgusting.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you do, you should expect to be punched in the face.
If you watch the video, you're right. It's a long video. There's this one fella who comes along. I don't know if he's his friend or not. He's trying to break it up. But the guy, once he gets punched, he decides it's fight night.
And he goes and takes his clothes off.
He takes his hat off. And then it's like episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, when Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin are about to fight. He takes his jacket off. He spits on the ground. He squares up. And the security guard's like, that's fine. I'm not going anywhere. You want to do this right now? We'll do this right now. But it's a really weird situation. And I know people are calling for the security guard to get fired. But it feels like perhaps it's more complex than just like I started to fight somebody for no reason.
Yeah. But at the same time, when you go to a place like that, you don't expect to get your hands put on you by an usher.
For sure. I agree with that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Second and 10, gets bring 4, Wilson end zone shot, Pickens! Got it! Touchdown, Pittsburgh!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you again to Paige Beckers and Bruce Bochy and John Machota for jumping on with us. Been a busy day. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how was you today?
Terrific, Heggie. How are you?
I'm doing great because in addition to all that, we traded for George Pickens and you get Stars Jets tonight.
Yeah. My goodness.
So,
and the Ranger runs
yes,
last night.
That's right.
It's a trifecta of goodness.
And the game before that, they scored a lot of runs as well.
It's also true.
All right. I want to start with George Pickens. I know people have questions about the future of his contract after this year and being told that he's got to grow up. But also, this is somebody who has shown that they've gotten better at getting open the last couple of years.
Terrible route runner.
Yeah.
Terrible route runner, but he knows how to play with physicality.
Yeah.
He knows how to threaten with when he's able to go up on a corner and they're scared of him. His vertical route is incredible because they know if the ball is within 4 yards of him,
he's going to catch it.
He's going to make some unbelievable play. And so the hitches, the goes, you know, those are the kinds of routes, the outs. It's kind of a very, very kind of a basic type of offense. And it might have to be with quarterback play. It might be that they don't have quarterbacks that are capable of doing things and allowing him to flourish. You can put him in bunch formations. You can bring him across the formation. He can catch the outs. He can get first downs. This guy is so competitive. Now, if you think he's going to run Amari Cooper-like routes, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. But he will bully cornerbacks the way he plays.
That is, I guess, the question. Doesn't Dak struggle with receivers that don't run good routes, or am I wrong about that?
I'm just give me the guy that somehow gets open, and if the ball is not if it's not perfect, which this quarterback
he'll
sometimes
figure a way out.
Yeah, this guy makes more plays on poorly thrown balls than anybody I've ever seen in football. But you know, with Dak, I mean, the route running stuff like that, I mean, to me, it's just about you with Pickens, you see separation. You know, he might not be, I mean, it's going to like, okay, we're going to run the slant. Fine. Okay, we're going to run a corner route. Okay, it's supposed to be plant your foot at 12, take it to 16, and then, you know, it's not going to be. It might be at 10, and then it's going to be at 14, and then, but wait, the ball's there. Oh, 41-yard gain.
Yeah.
I saw that a bunch watching his tape.
How do you guys feel about the move?
I'm really excited. You know, I think Corey brings up an interesting thing, like how does it come together anytime you're bringing a new quarterback and wide receiver together? You know, you can't be certain that the chemistry is going to be amazing. I don't think it went well with Dak and Dez, but Dez was later in his career and was injured, you know. But I'm hopeful. You know, this increases their talent base significantly. It yes. gives them a hell of a playmaker, and I think it rises the ceiling of what this offense could do significantly. You know, I just wonder now, you know, if it puts pressure on them to look at left tackle and say, guys, if with all the other good players that we have now and everything that we've done in this offseason, are we really going to let it be done by a horrible blindside blocker here yeah. for Dak every time he drops back? I don't think you want to do that. So I'm still looking at
okay.
one spot. If you fix that spot, all Heggie, right. Cowboy Gavin's riding. That's how I feel about this team right
that's
now.
That's one of our segments for tomorrow. One down, one to go. If you get one more position, player, whatever. Now we have Dawson's
left
answer.
Tackle it is
just
him.
The left tackle is all we need. We need Guyton to step in the right direction for sure. I mean, the football fit right now, you just got quite a bit better, I feel like. You had a bunch of wide receiver fours that you were going to have to run out there as wide receiver two.
Can I pause you on that? Because that's something that Mashota said that I thought was really interesting is once McMillan went off the board, they didn't really see a need, especially in the mid to later rounds, to draft –
They knew that McMillan wasn't going to be there.
Okay.
So they went in with the whole idea that McMillan wasn't going to be there. And they didn't have a Burden or a Buka or Golden Tag that was right there.
Okay.
To just pivot and say, okay, let's take the next best wide receiver. You basically got a faster version of Tet McMillan in this trade.
Okay. And that's what's fascinating about it because of what you just said, Eric, was similar to what John said. He was like, that's why they weren't going to take that receiver in the second, third, fourth round. They feel like they have a bunch of those wide receivers.
Well, they were hopeful that Burden would get to him at 44.
And they thought he was...
Yeah, they were thinking that too with Junkins and Burden were going to be potentially could maybe get them. When they went off the board, Azaraku fell into their lap that way, the way their stack went. So yeah, they were hoping that Burden would get there. They just didn't. It just didn't pan out the way they thought it might. But they went into this draft not believing that they were going to get McMillan.
Yeah.
As much as we were trying to will it and talk about it.
Yeah.
And all the receivers, it just didn't. They knew it going in.
Now this might be something we talk about more tomorrow in that segment as well. Where do you guys stand on Nick Chubb?
I mean, I would be very interested in bringing him in. I don't know what his demands are from a dollar figure standpoint, and I would certainly draw a hard line in the sand on what those numbers are. But I do think that at this point, he's better than Javonte Williams. If we're looking at a guy to hand the football off to on the cheap, I think that would be, I mean, obviously you have the Breece Hall stuff as well. Maybe you can make another move.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But yes, the status of your running back room, I would feel better with Nick Chubb in there.
I like watching Nick Chubb do box jumps. Did you see his stuff? I mean,
squat 600 pounds.
An absolute animal.
29 years old, he could still go be an Olympic gymnast, apparently. Yeah. I don't know if he can still play football. Last year wasn't good. I would rather have him, though. If we can go back to the start of free agency, can I have him instead of Sanders or Williams to go along with Jaden Blue? Sure. But at this point, you've already spent resources at running back, and the range on his next contract is between $3.5 and $7 million.
Okay.
At $3.5, I'm like, can we do this, Cowboys? At $7, I don't know if that's a good idea for a man that old.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that they're going to dance with the guys they've got right now. We'll see what happens in June 1 cuts. Maybe they'll have some money available for that. But I kind of feel like when they drafted the two players and then also the two free agent signs, is it going to be enough? Probably not. I think everybody's assessment of what's going to happen at left tackle, and I'll also throw cornerback in there too, is my next spot I'm kind of looking at. With what's going on, maybe even the one technique stuff as well. But yeah, I think that they're going to dance with these guys they got.
Now, tonight, game one, the second round. It's weird to say the second round. It feels like this should be the Stanley Cup final after that war you just went through in the first round.
Man.
But it is just game one of the second round. How are you guys feeling about game one and then perhaps bigger picture about the series itself? Stars traditionally lose this game.
That's what I'm saying. This is what worries me. This is what worries me because the game one is on the road.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, when you have the opportunity, if you lose game one at home, then at least you potentially have a game seven. So, yeah. And, you know, I believe that during the season that Winnipeg only had like six or seven losses at home during the regular season.
Wow.
So that's one of those teams that you kind of, I know that Colorado had, you know, the way they played. So yeah, this is going to be a difficult task. And especially if you find a way to have to, if you do lose game one, where do you make up that game? Knowing that game seven, if it has to go back, will be in Vancouver. I keep saying Vancouver. Winnipeg.
Lose a peg. It's fine. You can say that.
Winnipeg.
Yeah, I do think this is a prime opportunity to end the streak of losing game ones when consider the rest advantage factor and Hellebuck still hopefully being with his confidence all the way down and emptied out of his body.
Yeah.
This is the chance to take advantage of that. And they've got some injuries now that they're having to sort of deal with.
True.
So I would really like to think that they could capitalize on that tonight. But I do still feel pretty good about the series.
It is insane what the NHL has done, where you could potentially go win the Stanley Cup and the first two series are your most difficult series. Okay, so let's just put that out there.
Okay.
They get through this one, they're going to win the cup, Heggy.
Woo!
Winnipeg's defense is great, and their forecheck is good, which makes me nervous in transition. You know, you have a turnover against this forecheck, and all of a sudden it's real easy. That's how you give up shorties, okay? And that's a significant problem of this Stars team, even though their defense is overall good. I don't feel good about a win in game one. I feel great about a win in game two.
I do, too.
Okay.
Winning the series in six.
Oh, okay. I like it. Have you guys looked at the betting odds for the next Pope at all?
No.
Is it our guy from Taiwan?
Not my wheelhouse.
I think he has slid down the list some.
Is it Taiwan or Philippines?
Philippines, excuse me.
Yeah.
Tomato.
I got bets on all
these
guys.
That's Tagle from Philippines.
Tell me about South America's candidates, please.
I was going to say, Perelin from Italy and the guy from Philippines look like the leading candidates.
Italian Pope type guy is 65 years old.
Yeah, there's three of them, though.
Yeah.
Three of the top four candidates are Italian, but you also have Ghana after that, then Hungary, Congo.
Yeah, Ghana's a player here.
I was just curious.
I'd be going young.
Hungary.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's have a good run.
The youth movement at Pope to start.
We're doing this too often.
Does that start at like 50? Like, what would be a young Pope?
Yeah, I think 50. 50 feels young to me.
Okay.
I think, you know, maybe at 45 at the youngest.
21, okay. That seems young.
I don't, yeah, that's...
How about just right out of the seminary?
Yeah. Right? You love Jesus. That's young now.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Pure Gold, as always, Heggy, yes. Thanks for asking. We will have a hockey conversation with Ralph Strangis right there at 4 o'clock. Ooh. Bully Melrose, though, at 4:40, he has been reached on the cruise ship.
Okay.
And he will react to the Jets song Fail at 4:40.
Nice.
Man, are they stuffing in like a port or something so he can make that phone call?
Not sure how he got it in.
All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us tomorrow. Remember, short show leading into Rangers, 10 a.m. to noon right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.